Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. It's a good time to be happy. It's a great to actually be happy and alive.
Good time to be happy.
Yeah, it's a good time to be alive.
Actually. Oh, our comment of last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should be glad as Africa not to be in the neighborhood of.
Yeah, we're not in that neighborhood.
A bunch of guys that are shooting missiles at each other.
Mm-hmm.
At least in the weird sense, Helmut, if you know that your national leader, you know, angered someone else from another country.
But look, this is
here in Africa, you can at least see the guys coming. You hear reports, the people are coming.
Uh-huh. These two guys are 23 have crossed the border.
They're just throwing matches at each other the whole time. Okay. It's explosive matches, should I rather say.
But, I didn't think of it that way. Because every time there's a conflict here, you just find a bunch of guys with, you know, brave, I'll give you that, you know, to put on boots and, you know, march across the border and then start getting in close range and shooting at each other. Look, didn't these countries that are at war, they have Iraq and, Yemen.
Yeah.
And you have Jordan on one side. They have one giant, actually several giant land masses in between them.
Yeah.
But they're busy blowing each other up.
Oh no, they're throwing things at each other.
In style. Yeah.
I mean, the funniest one was the one social media footage of, it came from a person that went to a wedding in southern Lebanon. On Sunday night. No, not on Sunday, on.
Okay,
on Saturday night, sorry.
Lebanon must be throwing a party on this.
No, no. Okay, I don't know. But the people were dancing and playing music in the party. The person holding the camera is literally, they were first focused on the people dancing at the wedding, and then they lifted up the phone to watch this rocket fire fall in northern Israel, because southern Lebanon borders obviously onto northern Israel. And there was a town just on the other side of the border, an Israeli town that got hit by this rocket. And the people in that wedding, they were nonplussed, dude. They didn't care. They were continuing on with the wedding celebrations that Saturday.
They had missiles literally flying over
their heads.
They were at a party?
Yes. They didn't care. They didn't care if the Israeli Iron Dome decided to, you know, intercept that rocket there in Lebanese airspace. They didn't care. No, they just continued on.
Man, that's a sad world. I mean, if you're normalizing, you know, overhead missiles.
It is. And then the worst thing is obviously today's particular feedback when the Iranian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the spokesperson of that ministry gets up on a press conference and then starts doing something that Netanyahu did before COVID, showing up there with photos and pictures saying, look at this. This is what, we saw it the whole world over, over the weekend.
That whole bomb picture.
Yeah.
I remember that. Oh no, he did not do that.
No, he literally did. He stood with pictures there earlier. I was like,
That one is not surprising though, because have you seen the Iranian, that's why one guy on TikTok, he said that, I don't know this for sure, but I'm suspecting Iran has a Gen Z running their Twitter. Because, what, are you reading those comments? And not the comments, the posts. It's just one craziness after that.
At least it's not the news readers from North Korea. It's a woman that sits in traditional Korean, attire in there. She sits like this, Helmut. But the arms are like this, the spread, like this. She sits like this at the desk, ne? And the tone she reads, she goes like, this is the way you must read it. This is how it is happening. That is what it is doing. And you sit there going like, is this how it looked like under the communist period of the Cold War in communist countries?
The US had, some kind of, parade, like military parade.
Oh, yeah. That as well.
That's one of the funniest things to happen. Yeah, and one
poorly attended.
And those guys were not marching. Those guys were walking. Like, yeah. Now, and people what are doing, especially on TikTok, is that, they are, they are stitching together, parades of a Chinese parade and the North Korean parade, Russian parade, and then the US one at the end.
Mm.
Yeah. And the comparison is laughable. One guy in the comment section was like, well, guys, it's their first dictator. Give them a break. They're still learning.
Oh my goodness. These guys. But apparently they had parades, the Americans. This was apparently their first in 40 years or in 30 years.
Their first in 30 years.
One of the two, because apparently they've had parades before.
I don't think the US Army does not know how to march. It's just some kind of a disobedience, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Because, you're talking about, some of the most trained guys on the planet. Of course they know how to march.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what makes that very...
And I think they do have ceremonial uniforms.
Every time, you have to understand, every time they bury their foreign soldiers, which is like all the time, because, well, they have been at war for, well, since forever. Yeah. Now, there are obviously, marches involved during presidential inaugurations. These guys are present.
Yeah.
So this is not that they don't know how to march. They know how to march. It's just that, this is where, that parade actually painted Richard Wolff's of a falling empire to me, in most a very, very, very obvious way.
Yeah. Sachs is also saying the same thing. Now, Sachs was recently interviewed, Jeffrey Sachs, was recently interviewed by Lamont Hill. What's the guy's name? The guy from Al Jazeera. I almost said, I don't know if his first name is Damon or something. Damon Lamont Hill.
The black guy?
Yeah. He also interviewed, said Jeffrey Sachs last week. And Jeffrey Sachs is also now echoing the same things that Richard Wolff is echoing. You are starting to see weird antics, announcements of you must be this, you must do this, that intimidation antics and all that. But yeah,
the guys were they were marching with a voice in my head. I kept picturing them saying to themselves, oh, not again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they were probably like, what is this supposed to be? And I think it's probably a bunch of Gen Zs that were.
Oh yeah, it was also homeboy's birthday, and are we marching? Oh yeah, it was his 75th, I think. Trump.
Yeah,
you're like, what on earth is going on here? But that was just that was just, if you ask me, a sheer disobedience. It's not that they don't know how to march, which is very, which in any other disciplines you can easily dismiss, but when it's taking place in the military, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay, but again, for the millionth time, thank heavens, we are the southern tip of Africa.
But plus, we're also in that South-South cooperation discussion, and we should be grateful where we find ourselves, guys. Even though it might seem like we are literally at the back end of the world.
Yeah.
Literal position. That is a literal position.
Now, hoping we don't, doing things that will call it good night for everyone. We are still, at least those of us that are the southern tip of the African continent, still hopeful of what we'd like to achieve as a country.
Mm.
Yeah, and in terms of building our economic, building up our economic strength and in more ways than one.
Yeah.
We have high institutions going. We talk about, youth empowerment, and every time that we talk about some of the major investment, or more like, a lot of multiple projects, both foreign and, and domestic in Namibia, we talk about how do we get a Namibian to actually benefit in this project. We say the same thing about green hydrogen. We say the same thing about the oil and gas projects that we have running.
Mm.
And it's the same thing that we, talk about agriculture, or how do we catch up technologically with everyone else? How do we ensure that, we participate in more productive way when the Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement is now in full swing. What we would like to do is to contribute something that is Namibian.
Yeah.
And today, one of those contribution we are going to focus on, we're going to talk about that, was actually focused on by BIPA, NSRT, and NASCAM, National Arts Council, that is the creative sector. And I'm glad that we are acknowledging that, not really acknowledging, but realizing, if I can use that word, that is NASCAM, like in terms of very streamlined that NASCAM has in terms of representation, because it, you know, every now and then, if you look at basically NASCAM itself, the first thing that you see is that it has musicians and composers, but the creative industry is a very broad one.
Yeah.
If you are going to build it up for two main reasons, you are building up the creative industry for two reasons. Reason number one, so that the creatives can benefit on their works, from their works, number one. Number two, so that overall they can contribute to the overall national economy. So achieving these two goals is one of those discussions that we are going to have today. Not that we have a magic formula. It's going to be based on the discussion that's coming from the right people in authority to sort of put the pieces in place towards achieving that goal. So one thing that actually made me laugh from the whole, from that audio was, after it became public knowledge that there were some types of levy being collected from entities, like, one that was mentioned was NBC.
Mm.
And I think they made, an upward of about 6 million. Then all of a sudden everyone wanted to be an artist. Yeah, that part sent me rolling.
No, but one of the funny
like you, desperation will do that to a person.
Yes, it will. But it's obviously also a discussion of, remember our talk last year when we had the one based on as a response on the MP, who highlighted in Parliament last year that, radio stations, whether.
Yeah, should do.
Yeah.
Let's make it mandatory to play like a large percentage of local of domestic music. Yeah.
But the downside, which that MP did not realize, which is, for example, if we take in our analysis, Eagle FM for that matter. Now Eagle FM plays a local musician's music. Now Eagle FM, besides obviously having to pay and buy for the album, which has the music on it,
mm-hmm.
Now Eagle FM has to pay a royalty fee every time that song gets played.
Yeah.
Now obviously in the current economic light in Namibia, you would obviously try and manage your financing, because
so it becomes a budget.
It becomes a budgeting aspect. Now, what her discussion that you and I had that talk about last year was focusing on was to literally what's that word that I want to use? To literally impose a legislative condition on one side of the private sector, so as to the benefit of the local artist. Firstly, if we all know, people don't like being told, specifically if it is your business, you don't like being told what you must do. Look, you can take it from the government because you've got to pay taxes to the government as a local business person. But now you've got an MP who's got nothing to do in your business making a suggestion about an imposing a clear, impactful regulation on you. That's just the thing, Helmut. You can choose to follow that regulation in terms of whether or not you actually want to play local musicians' content on your airwaves. Because you and I know, Helmut, that from this discussion that took place, just for our listeners to note, that is, the subject matter is about a copyright levy. Just in terms of, I just realized now we sort of like you know, we just jumped on the racehorse and we just ran. And I think our listeners are probably also going like, "Wat 'n goed praat hierdie ouens hierso." And okay, so just to calm it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you've seen our poster, the poster is our subject today is based upon, you know, should we bring or introduce a copyright levy to help in the, firstly, the levies, or let's call it monies collection and monies distribution for creative works in the Namibian economy. Mm. And the insightful thing that you just mentioned now is technically there is such a levy active, which is the NASCAM one for local musicians, which is also that MP's discussion we had last year that literally reinforces that subject matter. But that is a part of the subject matter. Because like you said, the creative industry, or the word creative, is pretty broad. And focusing just on music composers and musicians is a pretty narrow particular example that we've got.
They also do cover authors, composers, and musicians.
Mm. So, as we can obviously
now
we have see,
sculptors going like, okay,
now what about us? Or graphic designers. Now, what about us?
Well, you have yours truly here.
Or me, that can be a photographer, because I had photography as a subject matter, as a subject.
Where do I fit in?
You, as a stand-up comedian, where do you fit?
Where do I fit in?
Because remember, at the heart of this particular discussion is that you've got intellectual property.
Yeah.
The intellectual property is an idea that you must have put on paper. Not you thought about it. And now you see someone else thinking about it, and they actually acting
they
on
are
it.
Implementing it.
And they're implementing it, but they're putting it on paper as well. And you claiming that you
about it at some point.
Yeah, that is not a protection. That other guy gets first dibs at protection.
Mm-hmm.
These are some of the particular aspects. A writer, for example, who writes, let's call it short stories or poems or stuff like that on a personal blog. What do you do about them? How do they get promoted? How do they get protected? And how do they get compensated for their stuff? It's a pretty, do you see? And you know what's the worst part? And this is where, once again, my criticism comes in. Remember how you and I, we came upon this subject matter. This was a streamed video on a Facebook platform. On the Facebook account of the National Arts Council.
Yeah.
And it seemed like there was particularly probably no invite anywhere, because I follow a few of these accounts in terms of whether or not they might post like an alert or something to say, hey, listen, we're going to have this public discussion. Kindly come and attend. Because, I mean, that's how I stumbled upon the remember the stakeholder engagement about the act back in 2024? Last year,
yeah,
when we started with the discussion,
Section 19, and we
realized Section 19 was such a
dynamite for the whole
the whole act itself.
Mm-hmm.
Followed that up with that discussion, that other discussion that took place at the end of last year, and then obviously we're back at this particular subject matter today, which took place a little bit earlier in this month, meaning literally not last week, the week before. Which obviously highlights, Hamoud, that in essence, the industry itself, but that's just the thing. The one side of the industry is organized, the musicians.
Mm.
Now, what about the other guys? Do they have industry bodies? Because the musicians have an industry body, which is literally like you said, when that money was collected, what was it, 4 or 6 million?
Somewhere in that range, of 4 to 6 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When that was collected, everyone decided, you know what, I'm also going to become a musician or a singer right now. And it's not like they've got any talent on an instrument. It's literally just
motivated by the 6 million.
It was split up by people's.
That's very painful. But look, now I know a lot of well-established artists that started off as musicians and things didn't go well. They realized that, you know what, this whole singing thing is not mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they decided to do acting and they were very good at it. And now, and this is actually to bring to the realization of, you know, I think to our realization just how broad the entertainment industry is.
Mm.
And when you look at it, pardon me. Look, when you look at it, just how, you know, how streamlined, at least on paper, NASCOM's role is. It's kind of like a very difficult, like, it's very easy for everyone that's involved in the creative industry to ask themselves questions like, okay, you have authors taking care of musicians taking care of, and, authors, musicians, and, you have authors, musicians, and who else do they have there? Now, well, everyone else will be like, okay, where do I fit in? But, now that also raises, that also raises a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if I fit in this, if I fit in, if NASCOM also represents me, who do I complete this application form as? And now, I'm not saying come up an abbreviation that will incorporate everyone in the creative sector, because then you're going to have one giant abbreviation that you can't even pronounce. So that's why I actually appreciate this discussion that they had here. And, especially, I was actually surprised to find out that, artists from, Nigeria's, legislation on this subject is so awesome and easy. It's so awesome that artists from other countries come to Nigeria to produce their works there.
Yeah.
If there's music you don't want to listen to, sorry, South Sudan, but my God. Holy cow.
Why would you listen to South Sudanese music?
Oh no, it's in English, except, have you listened to Snoop?
Yes.
Slower than that, and terrible. Now, I'm sure there are some out there, but
it's not that Namibian masterpiece that I listened to once. The one about the girl.
I'm gonna send you one.
And I know you've seen that one about the girl.
I have.
That Namibian masterpiece.
It's more of a revenge, but anyway. But look, so South Africa has it figured out, which is a good thing. Yeah, which is why, you know.
Even from actors.
Yeah.
They even have it from actors.
South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah, the South African entertainment history is well sought out. But one thing that you can see is that legislation plays a significant role.
Yeah.
Legislation plays a significant role. And, which is why stakeholder engagements that I participated in, taking place in the creative sector since last year.
Mm.
Both the, the first creative summit that took place last year.
Yeah.
And, there are two smaller ones that took place the side of, of et cetera, one last year and one this year. Now. All this emphasized one thing. You are creative. Excellent. But dude, you're still broke. Now, how do we make sure that you benefit from your creativity? That's the main goal. Not just from the legislative standpoint. Of course, lawmakers have their role to play in terms of laying the foundation, making sure that, the environment, makes it easy for you as a creative to earn a living. And it's easy for you, and also earn a living to the point where you are contributing to the overall economy.
Mm.
But the question is, we have a lot to do from the legislative standpoint, like it was pointed out, from the publishing standpoint, and also from the specific creative standpoint. Because one thing that was also pointed out was that we are not producing producing. Enough material for local consumption, which is why a lot of local consumers consume a lot of foreign, a lot of foreign content. Now, the quality and the quantity of the material, that's mostly the role of the creative. You have to produce something and also, competitive. I know we don't like hearing that word, but look, a lot of creatives in, before the invention, and I like the fact that they used that, that example. Lawmakers from as early as the invention of a cassette recorder, and Gen Z, you may have to Google that.
Mm.
Cassette recorder, lawmakers had to figure, have always faced a nightmare of how do we make sure that the people that are involved in this line of work benefit from their creativity. Because before the invention of vinyls and all, and any types of recording devices, as a performer, all you had to do was show up and perform. Now, making your work kind like very difficult to copyright. Now, because, it's not like you could pirate it off Pirate Bay. Because, well, you were the artist. Anyone that wanted to hear your song from you, they had no choice but to have you live on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, and then a vinyl came up, and then a cassette recorder came up. And then a DVD came in. And now we have, everything has been digitized to the point where it's very easy to access.
I actually read something about the guy that created MP3, a German sound engineer.
Oh, of course, it's going to be a German sound engineer.
And he wanted to, his goal was capturing sound, specifically a creative piece. Mm-hmm. I see we've got the line flashing, Helmut, the phone line.
Oh, the creative industry.
Yeah.
Go.
Oh yeah. Do we have an ad?
No. The overall question we are facing here is, should, BIPA go ahead and implement the levy that they are proposing?
Yeah.
Should they or should they not? Please. Eagle FM, huye afternoon.
Oh, lucky me. Oh my God. Thank God for answering my prayer.
Amen. In Jesus' name. TK, good afternoon.
And they need to be baptized in the, what is that one that they baptize that people with, not with fire?
Oh, by fire, by force, or holy fire.
By fire, by force. Mm-hmm. They said the kingdom of God, the kingdom was taken by what? Violence, and the violence taken. What? So, yes.
Yeah, he stepped out. I think he forgot something outside.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So I'll discuss, start the discussion.
The creativity with me. Mm-hmm.
You know what, me?
Yeah.
So it's good to point it out that the restoration matters a lot.
Uh-huh.
And many a times, those artists.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether one of you mentioned about the organization.
Is it NASCAR?
How they organize themselves. Artists themselves.
Yeah.
Because they must start with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then they now organize themselves. Then they can then follow the registration that you are talking about to present whatever their needs or their issues that are affecting them to NASFA.
TK, but this one is going to sound more like a poll, but, what's your take on the copyright levy that BIPA is proposing? You think it's a positive or negative thing?
I think it's positive in terms of intellectual property.
Yeah.
Sometimes, wonder why did most of these people, they really do something. It's not only, even in sports.
Mm-hmm.
You discover that somebody has created something because of lack of registration, understanding of the knowledge, the awareness of those registration that you're talking about. Even if they are in place, there are times where there are really gaps, vacuums and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But where they might be taking advantage of those things, you know.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to copyright and things like that.
Yeah.
And the quality of most of those local
materials,
it's true. They need to entice us really and make sure that the quality is good.
Yeah.
But those of the good qualities, you only see them in the video. Cha, cha, cha. This is in the Glamarimba, whoever, whatever. And even when they are there to now say, do the comedians and things like that.
Yeah.
So in community, like in the area, one day I met one gentleman, he makes fun of them. He's just like you.
Oh, thanks.
And now he was doing it, you know, that there was a long line and we have stayed. stood there for some minutes.
Yeah.
And he was making funny. And I said, yeah, fine. Start interacting with the person because of that potential.
Yeah.
That's when you can see the confidence in him. The confidence in the person.
Yeah.
So now, what happened is that he does not know how value he is to this creative industry.
Yeah.
So now when you tell him that, no, just give me a token and all this. So he's somebody who can, I don't know. So, but many a times, they themselves they seem not to be organized.
Just hold that thought. Let's take a commercial break.
Okay.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge. As we invest in time on our network, enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage. For the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply. Always Paratus.
Did you know? TK?
Yes. So now what I was trying to say is that maybe the organization on their part,
yeah,
and then so that they can then able to perhaps have some insight and understanding in some of those registration that you are talking about,
yeah,
so that at least they can benefit.
All right.
They can benefit from those things.
Yeah.
But what I know and I have observed is that even in the community, they know some kind of halls where they can regularly perform, you know? And then you have also some kind of, you know, the churches are there. Some of the churches and schools, they have got these facilities, you know? I don't know how really the sensitization can come in there and create, help them to understand that, yes, they have something valuable to give to the nation.
In the house of God, how dare you? I have personally performed at a church function.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I was invited the next Sunday. I was like, yeah, no, thank you. And then, I know one guy also who I also know one guy that I've been performing with for a while that have had like several events at the church. Sometimes, any gathering of people, sometimes, they just want to laugh with, now, whether or not they want a comedian or an artist at their event is entirely up to them. But the thing is, there's no collective entity to go and seek those entertainers from, because we are just all started up.
Yeah, it's true, it's true, you are right, because sometimes you don't really see what we are benefiting from that thing, apart from the monetary value.
Yeah.
And we don't want to dish out ourselves money. If you perform in the community, very few people will come, and they will just be laughing and talking. And they don't see the impacts of that entertainment.
Yeah.
So I think maybe it's education and awareness that need to go along.
All
so
right.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah. Have a good one.
Okay.
Yeah. Welcome back. This whole discussion is proudly not sponsored, because I don't, you know, if I say sponsored, I will have to send them an invoice. The purpose of, the purpose of this document, this is coming out of BIPA, and it's, came out this year. The purpose of this document is to provide clarity on Namibia's plan to implement and operationalize a copyright levy system. In an era where change is the only constant factor, that's a little philosophical, I have to admit, I like that part. It's the only constant factor. The growth of technology, Internet of Things, digital, then they go into a bunch of AI things there. The question they are, now what they are looking at is, because of the AI's significant transformation among other technological advancement, the intellectual property landscape as it is affecting the situation, actually more like the technological advancement is also causing a lot of shift in terms of intellectual property, especially in the creative sector. Now, while it's much easier to basically, you know, it's very easy to have access to someone's work right now, which is why is you know this is something that I think on social media is becoming is becoming more of a self-policing behavior, that every time that you stitch someone's video, at least mention them in the comment, in the description, yeah, or hashtag them. That's basically to show that you did not come up with the works.
Yeah,
you are using someone's maybe someone's sound effect that they are using, and people go viral for all kinds of silly things. I don't know about silly, but people have gone viral without realizing, because what they were doing. There's one guy who was sitting, I think, in some eating establishment with his son. And, I think, his son had an ice cream, that the son extended to the father to sort of like taste. After tasting it, he just made the sound of, nice. That thing went viral.
I know.
Yeah. Now, when you look at this,
And there's our good buddy, Gabi Lame.
Oh, yeah. The one who never
he did was just point.
Yeah, his signature move of telling you, like, you couldn't have just done this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just pointing the whole there time.
Yeah. There is, maybe let's just start by asking one question. The word levy, on the other hand, will take us to the example that you have given like several times.
Yeah.
Now, which is that your petrol price, or more like your fuel price, you always describe it as a sandwich of levies that makes up the overall 21 or 22 bucks a liter.
Mm.
Now, that's the same levy that we're talking about here, right? Oh, what is a levy in a nutshell?
Tax. Remember Trump's tariffs?
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
So, a levy is similar to a tariff. But a tariff is punitive, where a levy is supposed to have...
more of a contribution.
Revenue-generating mechanism. Because Trump, in his explanation, or in his explainer of his tariffs... or his motivation of his tariff policy was always about, well, in the 1880 whatever government back then, they were sitting with so much money, they especially had to appoint a tariff office to go and find out what they must do with all this money. The American government, because of the protectionist measures that it ran in the 1800s, obviously to protect infant industries,
yeah.
Predominantly it was the... it was the agriculture and it was the military arms, mm-hmm. small arms and industrial complex back then. I mean, Helmut, I read about the inventions I watched a documentary about it, how in America, the copywriting or what was it? Patent protection back in the 1800s around firearm designs
mm-hmm.
and inventions. Do you know, Helmut, that there was a guy, a manufacturer, an inventor,
yeah,
that put on a 10-year, in their patent registration, it was a 10-year, I can't say indictment, but it was literally to tell other people, you may not improve on this invention for 10 years. It's like you...
That sort of like punches innovation in the face.
Yes, it does. It's sort of like you telling a joke, but there's a guy that shows up to the audience. Né?
Yeah, and he likes it.
No. Mm-hmm. The guy at the audience which is your representative, tells the audience, you can't reproduce this joke. You heard it. You may not reshare it. You can only think of it, laugh silently, or they're on your own looking like an insane person. But you can't explain to any other listener or any other person what this joke was about and why you are laughing.
For the next 10 years.
For the next 10 years. Imagine that. And it was one of the reasons as to why in that documentary's explainer, why Smith and Wesson could only improve on, what gun was it? It was the bullet. They could only improve on the bullet. The downside was, Helmut, back then in the 1800s, in the aspect of combat. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're a European soldier or you're an American soldier, and now you've got to fight against, people that know the land and that know how to use the land for ambush tactics, guerrilla warfare, and all those other particular unconventional ways of fighting combat. The only thing that is working against you is because every time when you shoot at me, you've got this white smoke in front of you.
Flying all over.
All over the place.
Giving up your location.
Remember the battle that the British lost against Shaka Zulu?
Oh yeah, that one.
Remember that battle? Uh-huh. The British showed up with the latest rifle. Musket. No, it wasn't a musket.
Muskets at the time?
No, it wasn't a musket. Really? It was a single-loading bullet, a single-loading cartridge rifle. It wasn't bolt action. It was a single loader. So here where the chamber is on top.
Huh?
Yeah. You could only load one bullet.
And then fire and then load again.
Close the chamber and fire. And then open the chamber, reload a bullet, and fire again.
By that time, you have a Zulu guy standing on you with a spear.
Yeah, but remember those impis, the Zulu impi, that was the name they had. Mm-hmm. Those Zulu impis had to charge 200, 300, 400 meters from to get to you. They had to walk.
Yeah.
So you've got the chance of probably within 5 minutes. Being able to get at least 30 shots off.
And then from there, may God be with you.
Yeah, because then it's all close quarter combat. Now, the downside was for the British that time, and which was the biggest discussion around the world, specifically of these colonial armies, is every time when they fire, there's this white smoke hanging in front of them.
One bullet.
Remember, Helmut, the cartridges were also slightly... Bulletproof vests didn't exist. Let me just say this, guys.
I hear you.
Bulletproof vests, I mean, Ahmed, if you know the damage that a cult peacemaker made, the Navy cult, mm-hmm. when it was created, the Navy cult is a big handgun. It's about this long. From the tip of the barrel to the butt, the hand butt. Mm-hmm. Helmut, the bullet that thing discharged makes a hole this big in you. As big as a golf ball. That is not a joke. And remember.
And you don't have any body armor.
No, back then, body armor wasn't the thing, Moss.
Body armor was a motivation. Go get them.
Body armor was like classifying you as a coward.
This is the, that's
true. It was only the cavalry.
You're basically playing on your, toxic masculinity.
Yeah, it was only the cavalry. It was only the European cavalries that wore body armor. The French, the various cavalry units that existed back then, they had something known as a cuirass. A cuirass was it was literally armor plating. But it was shiny.
Oh dear lord.
Yeah.
So there's smoke
It wasn't even painted over to try and cover you. It was shiny. It was reflecting in the sun. That was also one of the nightmares that happened in the World War I, where the French cavalry, wore cuirasses. And it was the last time that the French cavalry ever said that you're gonna wear this thing, because back then, In the First World War, the rifles were more powerful than the rifle that was used against Shaka Zulu. Which is also the subject matter that I'm highlighting to you in terms of the imposition of patent restriction in the US. Now, even the Americans and the American army, as America was expanding westwards towards California and the state of Washington and all those other states, they came across the Indians, and the Indians knew where they were. I'm not supposed to use that word. It's Native Americans. The Native American warriors knew where the enemy was. Because every time when you shoot, it's this white smoke giving your position away.
So that's where you have, some movies like Comanche and the Indian Stories.
No, yeah. But they had to wait.
Yeah, no, Columbus and the Indian.
Yeah, they had to wait 10 years to improve just on the gunpowder, on the bullet, and also to improve on the kind of firearm. Because at that stage, which is one of the things that I made the rant the other time, you know, why can't Namibia has still so many infant industries in this country. Mm. Why can't we produce a Namibian-made rifle for the Namibian police, or Namibian-made firearms for the Namibian police and for the Namibian army? Because why must the Namibian army go and procure a Russian-made firearm or a Chinese-made firearm?
My biggest fear is if we produce a gun where, you know, my biggest fear is we are going to call it something NAM.
Yeah, that's the other thing. In naming conventions, you're not supposed to name your company or your product after your country. You're supposed to, it even explains it in copyright protections and in business registration. You're not supposed to have the name Namibia anymore. But there are so many companies in Namibia that have already registered before that rule came or was applied, registered Namibia in the company name.
Yeah, I mean, if the Minister of Home Affairs decided today that no one is allowed to name their child Junior, we already have 3.5%.
You hate that name,
man. Oh, no, I don't hate the name. I just feel like it's been abused.
No, like, it is. It is.
Like a
Look,
way.
The term Junior can only apply to your son if it is Helmut Junior. If your name is Helmut and the boy's name is Helmut, it's Helmut Junior.
Not just Junior standalone.
No, that Junior Studio standalone is an idiotic name. Going Junior and you're like, Junior of what? No, he's my son. What's the boy's name? Junior. Oh my goodness.
You know, the rest of us should really learn to Google words before giving our kids names.
Or rather go and speak to someone that can give names. You know, I'd rather accept someone that says, my name is Daylight. Then you can make all the blade vampire jokes that you want, but yeah.
No, dear. You see, copyright is, okay, copyright laws is the reason why there was a slow advancement in terms of, military warfare equipments, like guns.
Yeah.
Now, obviously someone that comes up with, with an idea, they must be protected. They must be protected by the law. But, now, getting back to, who is this guy? The photographer that, the genius behind the Beretta, guns like, the sniper Beretta M82. Turns out, Beretta, the guy, Ronnie Beretta, still alive and kicking. You can imagine how much money bro is enjoying with the ongoing conflicts that has been going on in his country.
Yeah in his country.
Which
country is that?
Being proudly sponsored by his country. The question I posed here, which like I pointed out to TK, that is going to sound like some type of a promo, is basically the question that, today's discussion is basically an amplification of the question that Pipa is asking.
Mm.
For or against the implementation of a levy. Now, when you look at it, for example, in terms of, places where we already have levies, like, in places like where we have levies, one of the reasons why we have some of the best roads is because of levies.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have the best roads that
and you can see them being improved. I mean, even though that might be City of Windhoek, not Roads Authority directly, but it factors into the same infrastructure.
You have no idea how many times I have come across a lot of videos of taxi drivers coming from our neighboring country, from our neighbors, our neighboring countries, coming from our neighbors, like we are countries. Yeah, coming from our neighbors saying, you know what, this country has the best roads.
Yeah.
That's because, we spend money on them. Now, where I'm headed with this point, where I'm headed with this point is, how we actually expect, look, guys, I'm in the creative sector. I want the creative sector to have money, to make money. I want to make money. But expecting the government to fund it all is not going to cut it, because that's not how the creative sector works in a lot of places that you see it thriving. It's not the same way, you don't have the government subsidized Hollywood.
No, you don't. Even though there is a clear policy sometimes.
Clear policy sometimes on the other side of the break.
Yeah.
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 Namibian weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2:00 to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2:00. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We'll save at USAVE.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother.
Welcome back, 30 minutes to the hour of 6. Now, where was I? Our neighboring countries.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, it's... Look, like you said, but the most obvious levy is obviously in the fuel price, which is the most obvious one.
So the best way to look at it, at the benefit of the levy that for the creative sector that BIPA is proposing, is to look at the levy, the benefits that we're getting from fuel levies, for example.
Yeah, but guess, let me provide you a guess, not a guess, but rather a more shocking indicator in terms of where they want to collect this. So you would have thought, Helmut,
oh yeah, I knew
in the creative sector, it would be on the consumer to pay for this levy.
Yeah.
Do you actually know where they want to impose
this? That's how it works in the fuel example, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know where they want to apply this? On every electronic device that gets imported into Namibia. Now, remember the policy document I shared with you from...
Coming out of BIPA.
From BIPA.
Yeah.
Regarding the copyright levy.
Yeah.
Now, dear listeners, just so that you know, before the Ministry of Industrialization and Trade was dissolved and now dispersed to the four corners of Namibia, because it was not globally. Well, it technically was only dispersed to two corners, to the Ministry of International Relations and to the Ministry of Mines and Energy. Because industries is now representative of industrialization at mines and energy, mm-hmm. and trade is at international relations. There is or was a department on the Ministry of Industrialization and Trade that dealt with copyright, with intellectual property concerns. Mm-hmm. And remember, you and I, we did the Kampala Protocol discussion last year, which was based upon the revamping and introduction and bolstering of copyright law protection in Namibia, in line with AU developments for example, the AFCTA's particular ratification adoption across the continent. Mm-hmm. And that ratification adoption has to do with other particular acceptances and agreements being signed with regards to legislation coming through, or not legislation, but rather treaties or agreements coming through from an AU perspective that has to be backed up by local legislation in your country. Now, it's not to say, dear listeners, we don't have a copyright law or rule or legislation. We actually do. It was just introduced in 1994. It's too old. at the current state of things, mm-hmm. it's old, it's outdated, and it also, according to BIPA in their particular stakeholder report that they had compiled, the one that I share with you, mm-hmm. they noted that that law, that act, is a bit old. The draft is that the Ministry of Industrialization and Trade was busy with was aimed at improving or updating the act or bringing in a new act to, you know, put something that is
with the times, basically.
Exactly, that is relevant of the times, yeah. because now you've got internet, now you've got smart devices, now you've got what's the other thing, applications that also share information. Look at the three aspects that you also have to contend with in terms of how this piece of creative material can be, you know, can jump between things. And then you've got that weird thing known as Bluetooth sometimes, because Bluetooth is also a means in terms of sharing data signals.
People still use Bluetooth?
No, but Bluetooth is probably one of the safest, I'd say safest mechanisms, because it's directly device to device. You know, if two senders want to send each other things, then you guys identify each other.
Yeah, I mean, I use Bluetooth for wireless connection, like because most, you know, most headphones these days are more like earphones or earpods, if you can call them that. They are, you know, they have this, you know, they're coming in two different ways. You have the wired and the wireless one. Mm. The wireless ones are obviously connected to your device via Bluetooth.
Mm. And that's literally
But for information transfer, I don't know.
Yeah, like I explained.
Usually these days we just go with, please send it to me via WhatsApp.
Yeah, but we think that WhatsApp costs nothing.
Mm, yeah.
Which is a lie. But Bluetooth costs you nothing. Yeah. Just an energy cell to send the thing. And you being able to identify the other person's device that you want to send.
Well, but the problem with Bluetooth is kind of difficult to send your sweetheart somewhere in the north, like a love song in the morning.
Yeah, because she has to be within 5 minutes, within 5 meters of you.
So actually Bluetooth is the best because it promotes closeness, especially in winter, but where are you?
Yeah, so that particular means in terms of how a file gets shared is one of the biggest concerns of this this panel discussion that actually forms the basis for our discussion of, you know, what is the impact or what should we bring, or should we bring in a creative levy or a copyright levy, as they want to call it. Now, here's where things get interesting, Hamoud. Remember, you highlighted a little bit earlier that this actually means that the painters, the sculptors, the writers, those guys have to...
Everyone must be included in the... Must be considered.
They must be considered, but that this also means that they've got to establish representative bodies, organizations of themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, for one of the reasons, for example, I'll highlight this union that was recently given their particular sort of like national colors. It's a small pun. Based upon that they were approved by the Ministry of Labor, is the Namibia Media Professionals Union, Namibia Media Practitioners Union, NAMPU. NAMPU.
Oh dear Lord. Everything you've got to NAM.
Yeah. There's the numbness in it. Currently their aim is about, you know, job protection in the industry. Mm. But one of the expanded protections that you can see that they should take on is the protection of creative work, specifically of media practitioners. Mm-hmm. Because it's so easy for Helmut, for someone today to go on to, let's say, Eagle FM's social pages or social platforms, and let's say we just put a slightly long format article there. Mm-hmm. And they can just, so on the smartphone, you know how to copy.
Yeah.
How to highlight and copy.
Yep.
Yeah. You just double click on the word and then you drag
the
what do they call that thing? The highlighting feature across the body of text. You just tap it twice and then it comes up with something, an indicator that shows like two little ears.
Yeah.
And then you just pull the right hand side down or you pull the left hand side upwards.
Yeah.
You know, to copy or to highlight the whole
highlight
text.
And then copy.
Yeah. Highlight the text, right click on copy, put it in your WhatsApp, make it out as if it's your own particular written thing, and then you can publish it on your social medias. It's so easy to do that. without having to give any particular accreditation or what is the other term we use in journalism? It's known as attribution. With no willingness or desire to attribute the original author. Now, just what I highlighted to you, Helmut, obviously the pun intended of highlighting, was that these communication technologies are doing their best to literally transgress. You first create, you create a disruption. You first transgress before you acknowledge, oh, okay, it was our discussion of the AI thing of last week, remember?
Mm-hmm.
With, what's his name? Dario Amude from Anthropic.
Mm-hmm.
Helmut, why would you start an AI LLM, large language model, a large language model. Learning model? Why would you start something like that? Because you want to see how far this thing can go. And when you realize, oh my goodness.
Oh my God, this is.
I'm going to increase the United States' unemployment rate from 3% to 25%.
Then you're like, you know what? We have to rethink this whole AI thing.
Helmut, 10% in the US. Remember, the US population is 350 million people. Yeah. 10% of 350 million people is 35 million people.
Yeah.
Now, what is...
We are just 32 million short.
Add another 10% on, and that's another 32. That's 76, that's almost 70 million people. Where in what world do you think 70 million people will be able to pay for services and things?
Nada.
They won't be. Now, this is what makes things even more problematic. Because we are obviously viewing things also from a different perspective. The perspective has been, okay, we've got our set corners.
Mm-hmm.
But the tech pros are the only ones that are doing everything in their power to disrupt everyone else's bread and butter.
Including theirs.
No, no. They don't care. That Amude guy.
Oh, you are talking about the owners, not the employees.
Yeah. Remember, Dario is the owner, even though he's the CEO.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Of Anthropic.
Anthropic, yeah.
Dario gets paid from the research funding that he gets from other companies. Because remember, if you have to ask what is the business model of these AI, research and development platforms, it's literally a concept of me telling you, hey, Helmut, since you are doing your daily stuff, I can do R&D for you, but you pay me a service fee. And then I establish it, and then I go, I multiply 10 Helmuts as investors. That's why you've got companies that invest in each other in the US.
Yeah.
10 investors, 10 similar companies, and they invest in a startup that I've started. And my startup is literally this AI learning model. So now you all have representatives on a board of directors. It's not Namibia's Homachai board of directors situation where I'm the owner of the company, but I asked my 5 siblings be my board of directors, but you guys just earn salaries for showing up there, or salaries in spirit, you know, and then Bob's your uncle. I make all decisions. I don't need your insights or your inputs. Yeah.
You just sit there and,
Just be cool. Just be calm. Or like in the government context, where the boards are literally like an extra oversight, because it's sort of like the boards are supposed to keep a rampant CEO and his management in check. But it's not like that board actually also has any powers, because, I mean, if everyone there is politically appointed plus the CEO, who will Jimak? Well, what will you do?
Don't they have like some kind of, you know, voting power, where, you know, like,
on what?
In order to make any decision?
If you're an SOE, what voting power for what?
Oh yeah.
To do what?
Well, before someone on signs the decision. Yeah, the check is coming from Minister of Finance.
Exactly. The check is, and whatever earnings you're making as an SOE goes back to the same ministry. So what voting powers are there? Because in the real sense of what a board is supposed to be is like what you see in the true aspect of corporate, of a corporation. In the private sector, a board of directors is a representative of a shareholder.
Yeah.
And these representatives, they all, I mean, Helmut, you should look at the fascinating stories about the boards of these football clubs in England. There's a joke of the guy from Crystal Palace, the one American shareholder of Crystal Palace. Now, the thing is, Crystal Palace, the football club, since they won a cup in England, I think it was the FA Cup, since they won a cup, they have an opportunity to play in Europe. But their position is in jeopardy because the same American shareholder, he's not a minority shareholder. He actually commands a pretty large size in the club's holdings. It's just he doesn't have the final say of decisions. Someone else has the final say. The guy that runs the day-to-day affairs of the club. He's like the other major shareholder. Now, he also has a share in is it a German club? Yeah. Or is it an Austrian club? But one of the two, from one of the two countries. He has a share in that other club as well. That club has also made it to Europe. Oh no, it's Lyon. Yeah, that's the club's name. Lyon. From France. Lyon also made it to Europe. Ne? But.
And he's also a majority shareholder in that one.
Not majority, but he also has a sizable stake there. And the thing is, he doesn't have a say in the day-to-day affairs in both scenarios. Now, UEFA legislation dictates, which is the FIFA, which is the financial fair play side of things in terms of multiple ownership structures. It has to be proven that this American shareholder, does not have direct say and influence in the day-to-day affairs of a club, meaning sharing of data, sharing of players, sharing of funding, sharing of financing, sharing of other particular assets and resources, but that each of these two clubs have their own chartered course in terms of their mission and visions on how they want to operate in the football in their football leagues.
So in other words, he has to prove that he's just sitting it out.
Yeah. But there's an uglier term.
Best job ever.
There's an uglier term. The term is, according to the English, that he's got the most expensive season ticket. If you get the pun.
Translation?
Meaning, he owns a stake in the club, but he doesn't have a say in the club. So that's why this one journalist that they interviewed said, on this other particular radio platform there from the UK that just talks about sport. The guy said, well, that's the reason why us journalists, we make the joke that he's got the most expensive season ticket. Because
he can own it.
He has a stake in it, but he doesn't have a say in it. Which is actually a positive for Crystal Palace, the football club. Which is one of the particular things that I wanted to point out, Helmut. But I mean,
okay, now you really have to break this down. Like, I mean, kindergarten. He doesn't have a say in it. There's shareholders usually more like they are low key, supervising what board of directors are doing.
Yes, and low key if your board of directors consists of representatives of each of the shareholders. This obviously means the guy that has the largest share. Or the largest stake in the enterprise
has the most influence.
Yeah, and the most influence, and ultimately has a lot to say.
Yeah,
which was one of the things that also happened with, like, for example, at Arsenal. Arsenal is now completely owned by the Kroenke family. The Americans and the British pronounce the name as Kroenke, but it's a German surname, which you can loosely also translate into a Dutch surname, Kroenke or Kroenke, because it's O-E. They write it OE, but you can immediately see it was supposed to be an umlaut. You know, that O with the two little dots on it. To go like Kroenke. That's the guy's actual name, Kroenke. So Stan Kroenke, and his son, because his son is now one of the sort of like, is on the board of directors. They have a direct say in the transfer affairs of Arsenal, in the, various other particular impacts, the appointment of the coach and the executives that have to deal with player recruitment and player transfer first. That you can prove, because Kroenke's son who's a billionaire, Stan Kroenke, he's a billionaire. His son is on the board of directors. His son represents his dad's interests.
Yeah.
Straightforward stuff. But when you tell come
the
to
guy
them...
To get, well, tell the guy to get a son. The American guy.
Not that answer.
And yeah, so, please.
It was about changing who's got the last say.
Namibia.
So, yeah. So when you come to Namibia, the downside here is, Helmut, are we really in tune with the times? Because that's the translation that I wanted to get to ultimately of looking at things. Yes, you could, but anyone could potentially also debate and argue that, Dwight, you went a little bit far with the board of directors discussion. Yes, I know about the digression, but are we in tune, Helmut? Because here's the thing. We still don't have a data protection law up and running. It's still in draft phase. We still don't have a cybersecurity law. It's still in draft phase. CRAN is boasting. Yes, I'll use that term. They are boasting about having a cybersecurity response team, the CSIRT.
One running on a bill?
Yeah. On the same bill.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Vintook Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Vintook Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Vintook Beer, and you could win. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back. It's 10 minutes to the hour of 6, but before we continue, quick life read.
This is the Vavitchi University September intake for 2025. All programs are fully accredited by the NQA. Certificate in Health Sciences Foundation Level 4. This is a one-year full-time course available at all campuses. Certificate for enrolled nurse. Certificate for an enrolled nurse, midwife, or accoucheur, Level 6. This is a 2 years full-time course available in Windhoek, Nkurunkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, Katimumulilu, and Otapi. Diploma in Environmental Health Sciences Level 6. This is a 2 years full-time course available in Windhoek. Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours. This is a 4 years full-time course available in Windhoek, in Nkurunkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, and Katimumulilu. Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing. This is a Level 8. This is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek. Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing Level 8. This is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek. The application period is from 1 June to 30 June 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvica University, where everyone is an achiever.
Welcome back. Now, on the, okay, before we get to the song of, the missing legislations like the cybersecurity ones. Can we just go back to how these levies will be collected? Because not how, but where from?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Where you know where the levies will be collected? Collected. Sorry, Hangwena. Will be collected from now. some of these places I'm not visiting, but relax, it's Namibia with rubber. Yeah. It's pointed out that USB device, because I just heard that somewhere. Right here. Yeah, the copyright levy will be a fee charged on various storage devices such as a cell phone, USB device, devices, computers, and other digital equipment that are imported into Namibia or manufactured in Namibia. Okay, why does that sound like Donald Trump's tariffs? Because this is obviously going to, you know, the end consumer is, the end user is going to find themselves paying these tariffs. More like paying the levy. Yeah, then copyright levies have been successfully implemented in several countries across the world, including within the African continent, to protect the rights of content creators and promote cultural and creative industry. Now, it's a very good source of revenue. Because how many cell phones are coming to Namibia? How many computers are coming to Namibia? How many wearables are coming to Namibia, electronic wise? Put a levy on this, and you are looking at a source of revenue similar to the e-visa, because we cannot not import these products.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Helmut. How
did we come to that? This is the one that has to pay. Is it because if you look at it from consumer wise, it's kind of difficult to collect?
But here's the thing. Remember, in that BIPA document, what they outlined in terms of, stakeholder involvement, is that NAMRA, mm-hmm. is supposed to be the collecting agency.
The levy will be collected by the NAMRA. NAMRA, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, for example, if we take a look at the petrol or the fuel levy. That is something, or the fuel levies, should I rather say. The fuel levies.
Plural.
Yes, because it's a whole bunch of levies filled up into the petrol price or into the diesel price per liter. Mm-hmm. So you've got Roads Authority as one. NAMCOR is one. MVA. Ministry of Finance is one. Ministry of Mines and Energy is one.
There's a MVA.
MVA is there. There's someone else also there. There's another agency also there, or another mechanism also collects a fee from every liter of petrol and diesel sold. Now, it's the same thinking to be applied. However, you've got multiple, agencies involved. BIPA ultimately sits with this piece of legislation, mm-hmm. because BIPA was under the Minister of Industrialization and Trade, mm-hmm. and BIPA is supposed to be championing this particular, update of this legislation, this law, this act. The downside is, Helmut, how do you justify paying someone a fee without them probably giving you proof that they are a creative? That means even Eagle FM, if that act, if now further deliberations or expansions or stakeholder engagement can take along, should take place even further. Eagle FM as a radio station can go and claim also being a creative, because we do create, content for the listeners. We create, engagement worthy, discussions. That means a juristic entity like Eagle FM can go and apply to be a beneficiary of this particular levy system, because you're creating content. And someone can download someone can listen to our stuff on the podcast, which is our digital archive, and they can ultimately, share video and audio clips about it to whoever.
Here's the thing, though. Fuel levies, all a bunch of levies that are factored into the fuel price example. These levies are basically, because they're in the fuel example, the fuel consumers pay it. They're the ones that are paying it. This is going directly to all these electronic devices is because that's where it's stored, right? Yeah. This is like, that would have been a terrible example. Now, take cars, when you look at cars, when you buy a car, when you're fueling it, you are also, you are paying for the, for road servicing. You're paying for car accident type of compensations. I'm not saying intentionally I ran into a cow, but, all these things are factored in.
Why would you want to run into a cow, Harmon?
MVA.
Into a car or a cow?
A cow.
MVA.
Yeah. So, when you look at this, now on the distribution, the distribution was also covered, but, that's where I think the distribution on who gets the money and how, that's when, that's where production now is most likely going to come in. Publishers. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
Publisher. Yeah. So then publishers will have to show that, this creator through me produced this work. And then I know that also raises the questions of can I go independent, or I don't have a choice, even if I have my creativity, all you know, even if I have my creative content, I can you know, I cannot access these funds, or I cannot put it out there if I don't have a publisher. Now, obviously, I think, you know, leaving room for independent work to be produced would be a brilliant idea for me, because, I mean, we have, we have, journalists, for example, that belong to different, you know, media houses, and you have journalists that are independent journalists. Like, leaving that type of you know, yeah, that type of flexibility, for me, it would have been a good idea. Now, the example that I used, where I, you know, where I, you know, where I brought in Hollywood in terms of, you know, in terms of how it's dominated by the private sector in terms of funding, was that even though it's, you know, it's the, you know, the funding of that establishment is dominated by the private sector, they do, you know, the government gets involved also, the U.S. government, and one easiest example is one that we have used before. Hollywood gets a lot of hardware out of the Ministry of Defense, aka the Department of Defense that we see a lot in movies.
Mm.
That's the government getting involved because, well, albeit, well, it's manufactured by a lot of private companies who then sell it to the government. But before we continue, commercial break.
Tune in to the F&B segment every Monday morning from 7:45 a.m. live on Eagle FM for early morning dose of financial education and account protection. The F&B segment is proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia.
Welcome back. The time is 6 o'clock on the dot. So the where was I? The government does get involved in the American entertainment industry. I know we are, you are comparing a country of over 300 million people with a country of 3 million people. And then now you look at one of the biggest problem. Okay, how do I put this? Every time that you watch a movie, every time that you watch a movie or every time that you play a song, if you look up who wrote that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, who wrote that song and who recorded it, who produced it and all this. When it comes to movies, say, you know, you're looking at directors and everything. If that song has a music video, it also has directors and stuff. Well, every time that you watch a movie, obviously at the end of the movie, they give credit to, you know, to whoever sound was used to, whoever, you know, did the outfits and all those things. Obviously, the entertainment industry is actually generates a lot of money because, in a course of a 1 hour movie, you see one character in different outfits. Textile industry, check. Now, even the song that you are humming in your kitchen, when you see, when you see an actor humming a song in their kitchen, while, you know, preparing their breakfast. Yeah, that's not in there for free. So I don't think we, you know, I don't think, you know, we understand, you know, yeah, when you look at it like that, you understand why, I understand why you keep saying that, a movie is a whole company on its own. Because, yeah, because, every song, every outfit, every product that's consumed by the actor, be it a cigarette or the, you know, if they are walking around with a back, with a backpack, that backpack, the brand also paid for their product to be in there.
Yeah.
So it's one giant marketing program. But if it's consumed, that's the thing. How good is your work? What reach does it have?
Oh, you know, ultimately who uses it? Who listens to it? Who views it? Who consumes it? I mean, one of the fascinating things, Helmut, that I always heard. You remember music videos? The production of music videos, especially hip hop?
Janelo. I remember that.
Yeah. Did you know that the for the hip hop music videos, the cell phone companies would advertise, they would pay the record label money to have their latest cell phone in the music video.
So you're telling me in Dilemma when Kelly Rowland was texting Nelly with Microsoft Excel that they paid for the they paid for that to be
not Microsoft. The phone.
The
what was that? That keypad device. Can't believe people had that cell phone. It was a Nokia. Yeah, was it a Nokia? It was a Nokia back then.
Yeah, have you seen what's this? Have you seen who is this? Have you seen Sweetest Girl by was this Wycliffe Aiken and Lil Wayne?
Mm.
Yeah, the music video begins with some kind of Sony slide device, and believe me, at that time, you have no idea how fancy that device was.
Mm?
Yeah, but so all that had to basically be in there. Now, if you are looking at TV shows, no wonder a lot of Nickelodeon movies has a lot of breakfast cereals.
Yeah.
Because the target audience are the kids, and that's the audience you are looking for.
Exactly. So
and that's the content they
the
consume.
Advertising was positioned around the audience that views or consumes. Which is a good thing when you kept asking the question just before the last ad break. Who would pay for this levy? It'll be the consumer in a long direct way because it'll be an extra tariff, an extra tax.
A very long, convoluted, indirect way.
Yeah. Which is also not something that's properly thought through because the economic impact of what kind of a levy do you put on? And then how do you prove that you're a creative? Do you have a representative body? And then we've got David here. Hey, David.
Falling. I thought Goliath was supposed to fall.
Not David.
You are missing scripture, bro.
So when you look at that thing, that document that you and I said that we've got, that document that encapsulates stakeholder engagement by stakeholders that BIPA collected, actually points towards the notion of where would you position this thing? Because they want to put it on the importation of devices. So your new Apple or your new Samsung phone or your new TV or your new computer or
basically
laptop.
If it's implemented, the price is about to go up.
Yeah. If the thing can share a data file, the price would be applied.
You're including your USB. Yeah. I can't believe this guy. But,
no, I'm done. I'm done, Hamad.
Well, as you just heard us jokingly say, King David instead of Goliath is falling. He's already here. It's we are 5 minutes into his time. So for me, the question of whether or not this levy should be implemented this levy is actually one that I personally embrace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because again, as much as I want the government to fund things, I don't think it's going to cut it. Relax,
there's no fight here.
Yeah. There's no, Iran-Israel going on here. Now, it's not the question of whether or not it should be implemented. I think, I personally think it's long overdue.
Mm.
Yeah. But, where it's directed to, whether or not it's going to work, I'm not an expert to weigh in on that. The question is, did we consult the guys that sell these products on a large scale?
Mm.
Take electronic shops, for example, because, this is them that will actually have to be consulted on this. And we know how, trickle down cost works. This will just, the store owner will just put on a markup and at the end of the day, consumer is in one way or another paying for it. Yeah. Should it be implemented? Sure. And also, but for the brilliant part of this discussion for me was publishers. For the love of God, thank you. Streamlining of who represents which aspect of, of the creative sector. Now, this entity represents sculptors and and comedians and painters. This one is represents, actors and dramas. That's also another example. I thought, musicians and dramas are the same, but may not have the technicality. But two things: the implementation of the levy and streamlining and making it clear who is your representative, depending on the creative route you want to take.
Yeah.
So, unless NASCAM is broadened to accommodate everyone, then different representatives or versions of NASCAM will have to be created so that, as a sculptor, I know which entity is, is representing me. But, the levy will basically, is for the entertainment industry at large, like overall.
But here's the final thing, Helmut, just before we end. I know we're eating into David's particular time. The scenario would probably be that final question that we ended on. Did they do an economic impact assessment about a potential levy on devices? Because remember, much of the companies and organizations selling these devices that you and I sit with, and this computer in front of us, is they have to deal with import taxes already.
Yeah.
So the assessment has not been done properly. The assessment was just based upon how do we protect creatives?
Excellent. Levies. So basically we are in a way Donald Trumping this whole thing into.
Yeah. Without asking the consumer at the end, are you willing to pay more for your mobile phone?
I'm really hoping we are going to ask them because until tomorrow, same time, same place here on Eagle FM, you all have a good one.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida Ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado ili nawa Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarude itayo loka Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onore tatuimwe bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali. Ileko, derewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu matatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.